You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarlane. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. Hey, welcome back to the HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bowes. I am joined by, of course, Trish McFarlane. Trish, how are you today?
Hey, Steve. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. That was a perky hello, Trish, for a Friday afternoon as we record
it's
this.
It's Friday.
Yes.
It's Friday afternoon. And do you want to know, this is going to tell you why everyone will know why I'm so perky. I am actually going to a concert tonight.
Wow.
Do you want to even try and guess? Could you even guess who I might go see?
Lyle Lovett?
No, I am going to a rap concert. Yeah, wow. You heard that right. Logic is here in St. Louis, and I am going and escorting, chaperoning, however you want to call it, a whole bunch of teenagers, freshmen in high school, to the Logic concert. So it'll be me and I think three other moms and a whole bunch of boys.
That sounds should be amazing. Incredible. So I will expect your update on the Logic concert on the next show, please.
Exactly. I think we were all just trying to figure out who Logic was. I think I know one song, maybe.
I must admit, I've never heard of him or her. I'm guessing it's a him.
It's a him. Okay. So it'll be interesting. We'll see if I make it through, or, you know, maybe I'll come out the other side a huge Logic fan. I'm not sure, but I'm a little nervous.
Yes.
It's an outdoor concert. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But that's, you know, I'm obviously excited to get my work day done to go to that. So how about you? How are things in your world?
Well, Trish, fantastic. We are dodging. We all were talking pre-show about, it seems like everywhere people are here, the weather has been challenging. Internet's going out. Storms are brewing. I'm waiting any second for the lightning and thunder to start again. So hopefully things will remain cool for this podcast and we can get it done. But yes, summer afternoon in America. So hey, we have a super show today, Trish. This is one of my favorite shows of the year. We're going to be talking about the Deloitte Human Capital Trends Report for 2018. I've done this show two or three times in the past each year when Deloitte issues this report. I love this report. I love talking about it. So we have a great guest. We're going to welcome her in a second to talk about that. Before we bring her into the show, Trish, of course, we must thank our show sponsor, Virgin Pulse, since 1983, I believe, or 82, sponsoring
83?
It's been forever. Since the last time I went to a rap concert, that's when they stepped in and started sponsoring the podcast.
I was born.
I think I saw the Beastie Boys back then. And I want to thank them, Virgin Pulse.
I wish I was seeing the Beastie Boys.
I'll tell you what, you can just maybe pretend or bring your earbuds with you and listen to something else. But thanks to Virgin Pulse, www.virginpulse.com for all their support over the years. We want to also, quick update on the podcast network, Trish. Been posting shows all week. Did a new HR Market Watch show from George LaRocque, a new We're Only Human show with Ben Eubanks. We did our last show. God, Trish, we did that show, the last show we did together, which was about workplace investigations with Dana from InvestiPro.
Right.
And doesn't it just keep coming up in the news, right? There's Les Moonves, right?
Every day.
Papa John. And then like yesterday or the day before, Urban Meyer from Ohio State is now caught up in a very significant and important workplace investigation of his own. I mean, you should go back, and if you haven't listened to that show, go back and listen to that show, because quite honestly, I hate to say it, like it's never been a more important topic, I think, for HR leaders, right? To conduct consistent and accurate and defensible investigations. So I'm glad we did that show. I'm sad for all these things that are happening, right? But I'm glad we did that show.
Right. Well, they're just more public now. I think, you know, these things happened in the past and kind of got brushed under the rug sometimes. And yeah, so to be able to have some consistency in the way that you investigate things. I know even on the CBS, when I literally just read right before we got on to do the show, that now his wife, Julie Chen, is also being investigated for potential workplace action. Yeah, I mean, and now it's not, I don't think of a sexual nature, but I think it's just of, you know, abusing sort of the power that her husband had and getting special favors and things like that.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that they're, you know, that it's sparking another sort of separate investigation. And
I
yeah,
hadn't
you're right.
heard.
It's a good example of that.
I
In
hadn't
all
heard.
of our organizations, we just need to have consistency there.
Yeah, and I hadn't heard that about Julie Chen, which really hit me. I was shocked. I'm a Big Brother fan, Trish. I'm a
Me
dedicated
too. I
fan.
know. I
Well,
just read it,
we'll talk
seriously.
about that on
So.
our other podcast, Big Brother Daily, right? We'll save that topic for that show. So,
All right, we
yeah,
need a Big
we'll do
Brother
that.
one.
We'll
Let's
take
get to
that.
the real meat of today, though.
We will. Just one last quick announcement, or two more, really, and then we'll get to it. HR Happy Hour show on Alexa, Trish, blowing up. If you are an Echo, an Amazon person, Echo device person, add the HR Happy Hour skill to your on your Alexa app and get the HR Happy Hour, a different version of it, a short version in your daily flash briefing. Finally, Trish, from the HRTechConference.com, about by the time you listen to this show, about a month away, coming up fast. Use my code Steve300 for $300 off your registration. You absolutely want to be at HR Tech in September. All right, that's my announcement, Trish. Anything from you before we get on with the show?
Just a quick one that I will be at the HR Florida conference at the end of August, August 27th through 29th in Orlando. So if anyone is either needing a vacation, HR related to Orlando or is in that area, please come out and check it out. It is HRFloridaConference.org.
I need a vacation. I was just telling somebody that today. I might check that out. So, okay,
There you
perfect.
go.
There you go.
I
So
know.
we
Well,
are
I'll tell
gonna.
you what, it's special because I want to say it's special because it's their 40th anniversary. Of HR Florida. And if you think back, it's been, I believe, 9 years ago that we were on the second social media team that they had. And they were one of the first conferences to actually have a social media blogging team at the time. And it was really, I don't know if you remember back because we've been to so many events over the years, but do you remember we went to HR Florida and we get there? And I think we were maybe with like Lisa Rosendahl and maybe Jason Lauritsen, if I'm remembering properly, but at any rate, we had huge pictures of us up it like on big posters, remember? And it was like even bigger than the keynote, and we were just amazed that it was such a highly promoted big deal to be on a social media panel back then because it
Yeah,
was brand new.
I do remember
So
that.
anyway, I'm looking forward to going back 9 years later and sort of seeing, you know, now, I mean, obviously, you know, things around social media and business are just much more common, and it'll be interesting to sort of see how that's developed over 9 years.
Cool. That is going to be fun. So, all right, let's get on with the show. We are going to talk human capital trends today. Our guest is Erica Vellini. Erica is a principal from Deloitte Consulting and the leader of the U.S. Human Capital Practice. She's a graduate of Cornell's Industrial and Labor Relations program, sort of in my neighborhood, Cornell, not too far away from here. She had an early interest in understanding how organizational dynamics drive productivity, which ultimately led her to a career in HR. She is a believer that HR should be at the helm of helping the business optimize their performance and has spent the last 20 years helping organizations do just that. She has worked with HR leaders at some of the world's leading and most respected organizations, helping them define their HR strategy and develop the plan to execute against it. She is a frequent speaker on how trends in the market are impacting HR and recently published a new framework called the 4 Cs designed to help HR organizations create sustainability in today's world of disruption. Record, there's way more in the bio. I'm going to stop here because I go on forever and I feel like I haven't done anything in my life if I
Please
keep reading on.
do.
Erica, welcome to the HR Happy Hour show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
I'm glad you're excited. I'm glad you had to wait 8.5 minutes of our nonsense too to come on board. I hope that was okay. I don't think I warned you prior
Well,
to
I
that.
actually feel really young right now because I know who Logic is, and I actually know his most
Wow.
popular song. So
Tell
I'm
us.
feeling
Tell us what it is.
amazing.
I want to know
Okay, good.
what is the
That's
song,
wonderful.
Erica? What is the Logic song we should know?
So Logic is his song is all about. I don't know the name of the song, but it's all about asking for help. It's about mental health, and that's his kind of big platform.
That's
And
pretty
it's a
cool.
song
Oh,
about
that's the
kind of
one I
calling a
heard.
helpline. Yeah. And so it's actually a
Yeah.
really important message that he talks about. Not to get too much into it, it's really important for this generation to hear about mental well-being, which I know is one of the topics we'll hit on a little bit later.
Yeah. Wow, that's
Yeah, that's
perfect.
true. I don't know the name of the song, but I do know that it gives like the you know, national suicide prevention hotline number as part of the song. So I did think that was pretty exciting to hear that he has that as his platform.
You got it.
Wow. Who knew, Trish, like there was going to be that kind of a connection here on the show. So
I know, right to the show notes. There
yeah,
you go.
Perfect. Perfect. So Erica, we are so glad to have you making your HR Happy Hour debut, I believe, which is great. We've done this Deloitte Human Capital Trends Report review show a couple of times because to me, and to Trish too, I think she'd agree with me, this report is one of our like must reads every year, right? We like there's two things I read every year for sure. I mean, I read other things too, but I read this report and I read the Mary Meeker Internet Trends Report. And we do a show about the Mary Meeker report every year as well. I mean, these are the two things that are so important to us, at least to me anyway. And before we dive into some of the topics and trends that you and the team at Deloitte wrote about and sort of uncovered in the report, can you give our listeners maybe just a brief overview of what this report is about, how you go about bringing it together, and what you and the team at Deloitte are trying to accomplish with the Human Capital Trends Report?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you find it useful. We put a lot of effort into it every year, and it's actually our most read publication in the firm, which is pretty amazing, given how much we write about and
sure.
publish. But, you know, it's our seventh year doing this report, and every year we seek out to figure out what are the major trends that are happening in the world of human capital, and we look at those trends in two contexts. One is, what are the trends that have the highest sense of urgency going on right now? And two, how ready are organizations to deal with them? Because that really helps us to understand where are the gaps and where are the things that we really think not only HR, but the business needs to focus on. And so we're actually in the middle of planning, believe it or not, our 2019 trends report, and our survey for that is going to be coming out soon. But we pulled together a slew of questions. The survey goes out this year. We had over 11,000 respondents across 120 countries,
wow.
which is awesome because it really helps us to understand whether there's differences by region, by country, by industry, by size of company. We have people fill it out who are business leaders. About 40% of our respondents are business leaders, and about 60% are HR leaders. So it gives us a good balance and an understanding of whether there's a difference there. And ultimately, you know, if I think about HR, you know, there is so much that organizations need to do as it relates to human capital, especially right now. So part of our goal with this report is to try to sort out and say, this is really where we think you should focus because this is what's going to drive the top priorities, you know, that are facing you over the next 12 to 18 months. And that's ultimately our goal, is to shine a spotlight on what those issues are.
Yeah, Erica, thanks for that kind of context and kind of setup. And I think the report does a great job at that, right? It takes a lot of concepts and topics or trends that seem a little bit abstract or could seem a little bit abstract and makes them much more concrete, right? And puts some statistics behind them, puts some research behind them, often research that's taken directly from organizations via organizations you work with and interviews and such. And it really makes it pretty actionable too, which is another great element of the report, I think, which is important as well. One last thing before we dive into a couple of the specific topics or trends that you guys wrote about for 2018. The subtitle of the report is called The Rise of the Social Enterprise, right? That's like right on the cover page of the report, and which I thought was pretty interesting. I'd love for you maybe just tell us a little bit about that. Like what led you to maybe kind of highlight that, and what do you guys mean by the social enterprise, and what does that suggest for HR folks?
Yeah, the title of this year's report is funny. We've had reports for many years, and I think we've always come up with cute or catchy titles. This year's title, to me, is the most meaningful of any report we've done because we really think the social enterprise is something real. And at its highest level, it's a recognition that organizations are feeling so much pressure coming in from the external environment that's causing them to have to react to those pressures in a way that they haven't before. Obviously, organizations were always aware of what was happening externally, but we are seeing three macro trends that I'll talk about really impacting organizations, mm-hmm. so that they have to think about themselves not as business enterprises, but as social enterprises. And they need to be very deliberate about how they listen to, invest in, and actively manage their brand in the context of the external market. And there's three reasons why we think this is boiling right now. One is the power of the individual. We are seeing, especially with the millennial generation, but even Generation Z, there is a very strong voice. We're seeing it carried out in so many different ways. And that generation not only has a voice, but has a very clear platform for providing that voice in social media. And we are seeing, I think, many organizations, how that voice could be used to shape the way organizations are thinking about certain topics and how they respond to that increased power of the individual. The second macro trend that we're seeing that we think is driving this trend is a decline in the trust in government. And that's not to say that people are very trusting of business either, which I think is a good debate to have. But the latest study by the Edelman Trust Index showed that there's at least a 10% gap between trust in business and trust in government. And so I think what we're seeing is society is saying, oh God, we don't trust government. We need to go somewhere to help fix some of these major issues that are happening right now. And so businesses and organizations are more in the spotlight than they ever have been before. And then third, this year in particular, and I think we could think about certain situations, I think people have recognized that while technology and digital technology is incredibly important, and there is no doubt that it is the future, that if not managed appropriately, there are adverse impacts that could impact the individual and can impact society as a whole. And so people are sort of waking up to those and saying, okay, what are organizations going to do about it? And so because of those three major trends, organizations or enterprises are more in the spotlight than ever before. And as a result, we think the shift is going from a business enterprise that is pretty much focused on their financial results to a social enterprise where financial results are obviously incredibly important, but there's more to measure. Mm-hmm. And I'll share two more things on that topic that I think kind of brought us home. In January, CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink, released a memo talking about this topic and saying to the investor community, we need to look broader than just financial performance as we're measuring the value of companies, right? So that was a kind of a big sign. The New York Times called it a watershed moment because it sort of said, okay, wait, this is the investor community saying that there needs to be a broader focus. And then interestingly enough, I don't know if you saw Tim Cook's memo that came out this morning. Apple reached $1 trillion in revenue, first company to ever do that. And in his memo, what I thought was fascinating to his employees is he said, sure, the financials are exciting, but it's way more than that. It's about our values, our mission, our impact. And I think these are just small examples of how we're starting to see this come to fruition. So hopefully that gives some context, but we see this as a really evolving trend. And while it may seem like, well, does it matter? Our view is it does, because it has to change the way in which you're thinking about how you manage human capital and HR.
You know, I think it's interesting, all those facts that you're sharing, because when you think about the workplace even 10 or 15 years ago, some of what employees and even managers were wanting was, you know, greater transparency or greater accountability or greater ability to impact change in your organization. It sort of sounds like, you know, good or bad, however we got here, that's at the time we're in. So when you're talking about the individuals having more power and more influence and they have more mechanisms to do that, or whether it's even potentially from a technology standpoint, having more ability to control, you know, data about them, for example, or data, you know, consumer data, things like that. I think it's interesting that that's all kind of like coming together, as there is sort of maybe distrust around government or some of the other things that maybe weren't as concerning before.
Exactly. And it leads to the question of, so what does that mean? How do I manage differently in the context of being a social enterprise? How do I need my C-suite leaders to work together? Because the issues in the social enterprise, I think, are not only more complex, but they're more visible. How does that come to life in terms of bringing your mission and vision forward into the external environment versus being something that hangs on your wall in your office? And how do you strike the balance between how much you share inside the organization and the reality that that might get leaked outside the organization now that we live in a much more transparent world. If you think about that in the context of an HR professional, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, and that's what we're trying to bring to life. And the individual trends, the 10 trends in our report, are meant to try to provide some guidance on the areas that we think are important to focus on.
Eric, and I think the trends kind of speak to that. They kind of speak to a lot of these challenges and opportunities around organizations having to think about more than just financial results. It's really interesting. I didn't see the Tim Cook memo, but you mentioned the BlackRock memo or the BlackRock news from a couple of months ago, which I do remember reading. And interestingly enough, the CHRO of BlackRock is part of an HR tech session I'm doing. And I talked to him a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about this, you know, at pretty decent length. And it was a really interesting conversation. And we'll be talking to him about it more at HR Tech next month. So, Erica, so here's what I did. Okay, just so you know, this is the first time you've kind of come on the show to walk through this report. This report's like 100 pages long. It's like so in-depth. So, you know, 10 trends covered. We could spend 4 hours talking about it, which we don't have. So I picked the trends I wanted to talk about. So selfishly, that's what I did. I'm sorry, I did that. So if you don't mind, I want to ask you about a couple of those trends in particular. Maybe we can talk about them a little bit more. And then maybe at the end, we can kind of just talk a little more generally, or you can tell me, hey, this is more important and we should have talked about that. Does that sound good to you?
Perfect.
All right. Trish, you okay with this too? I didn't run this by you either. I just took the initiative to do it my way here.
No, I think that's great. If we think of anything else, we will we can do either cut you off and
just tell me
hijack
to be quiet. Yeah.
The rest of the conversation. Or, you know what? It's funny. I knew this would happen because it's like every year when we do this report, there are always so many that we don't get to. So we can always do a follow-up show if we'd like at some point in the fall and maybe see how these things are starting to play out too. So we've got a couple ways to cover it all.
All right, cool. All right, so everybody's on board. So here's the first thing I wanted to talk about. And it was one of the trends, I think it's the third or fourth one identified in the report, and it's called From Careers to Experiences, New Pathways. And this is a little setup on this from the report. We're talking about instead of a steady progression, a career progression along, say, a job-based pathway or a career ladder, leading organizations are shifting toward a model that empowers individuals to acquire valuable experiences, explore new roles, and continually reinvent themselves. Eric, I'd love for you to comment on this a little bit. We've been hearing some noise about this the last little while. I'd love for you to talk about what you're finding, particularly among organizations that are a little bit further along and kind of embracing this, and what they're doing and how they're helping their employees kind of navigate these new pathways, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. This is the trend that everyone wants to talk about because I think it feels so relevant to where things are right now. You know, I think that the driver behind this is that the career life is getting longer, right? People are could be working for up to 50 years, maybe even longer. And this idea of lifelong learning and how do you continue to evolve your skills in the context of the future of work and everything that's changing, I think it's really putting careers in the spotlight. And a career path is so linear, right? It follows typically an organizational hierarchy, and it, in a way, I think this generation is saying it feels very limited. As we see organizations move away from the hierarchy and into more networks of teams, it stands to reason that careers will follow suit and that careers shouldn't necessarily follow a linear path, but instead be a set of experiences that allow you to continuously build the skills you need. To me, the most innovative thing I've heard in this area, and it's interesting, our survey found that a lot of people would say their organizations don't have linear career paths. But at the same time, all those organizations said, but we still don't think that we're giving people the experiences that they want, which kind of feels like a conundrum. But to me, it was one of the tech companies talked about this, I think this is a great place for analytics to be used. So one company talked about how they are actually using analytics to track all the different ways that someone can navigate a career experience based on their specific skills and when they join the organization. And so for that person, they can go in and almost predict here are the different ways that you can navigate your career experiences based on how others have done it before you, to help them understand what the options are that are available to them. Now, what that does is it gives them a sense of, I have many different ways I can go, right? So the opportunities are endless. I can learn in many different ways. I could progress in many different ways, which speaks to the individual and what they want, but also helps the organization retain them longer and get the benefit of having people with different skill sets playing different roles, which is frankly essential to driving innovation. So that to me, out of all the stories I've heard, that's been one of the most creative ways to think about this. But I think the starting point is just talking about the career in terms of experiences and helping your employees to see the different experiences they can get, whether it's an educational experience, an on-the-job experience, exposure to a certain network or group of individuals. Any one of those things is an experience they can have that can allow them to continue to build their skills and progress in their career.
Yeah, Erica, I think one, and you touched upon the technology angle to this too, and that's kind of one of the most interesting things I've seen in the last year or so in terms of organizations, tech companies trying to apply better understanding and better information about their employees and their desires and their career goals, et cetera, to try to use that data against a large data set about what other people have done before and what kinds of learning and development opportunities or other experiences might be relevant to them to help them sort of move along the path that they want to go on. And a big angle on this too is that's a big retention driver as well, right? I mean, it's not necessarily something we think about all the time, but folks are much more likely to want to remain and they stay engaged in the organization when they kind of see that the organization is really, invested in them, right? And helping them to reach where they think they want to go.
Exactly. I mean, we've been writing about learning for the past several years in our trends report, and that's incredibly important in lifelong learning. But to me, this trend bridges the gap. So it's not just about providing people with learning content in different ways, but it's about giving them the set of experiences that allows them to apply that learning so they really understand how they're gaining experiences and how those experiences are helping them see their own progression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I absolutely think this is going to be the key to retention. And frankly, it makes sense because as people are looking out saying, I may have to work for 50 to 60 years, and they know that they have to have a set of experiences that continues to evolve, talking to them in that language starts to meet them where they are. And I think that's, again, this is going back to the social enterprise. It's recognizing the individual needs and the power that the individual has to shape a different way of thinking about something that has been in place forever. I mean, career paths have been in place forever,
sure.
And now we're seeing the individuals start to really challenge that construct.
Erica, thanks. I mean, we could, Trish, this is our problem with this report. We could talk for an hour on this topic. This could be the entire show, but
on each one, I know.
But
I tell you what, this really for the listeners. If I mean, hopefully they've all checked this out in the past, and we'll do so this year. But if this is new to them, I think this is a really good way to just even demonstrate that, you know, the thing is so valuable because it has, if each one topic we go over, you could really talk about for hours and hours. I mean, it's really that important to business leaders. It's that important to HR leaders to really understand what's going on in the world and how you can help your organization sort of, in this case, right, be ready for the individuals and what they're looking for and what they're expecting, because it is so hard to keep people in jobs today. And so, you know, this is just one of those reports that really helps that. And one quick thing, just while I'm thinking of it too, I don't want to like hijack it and go a different direction, but, you know, at the top, you mentioned that, you know, there were over 11,000 respondents. I don't know, you know, we read a lot of reports and many of them are just, you know, a couple hundred respondents, right? And so there are many, many recommendations made off of reports that are much, you know, just not even as robust as this. And so again, back to the listeners, if this is something they're not familiar with, they should be, because it's so representative of what you can find, not just in, you know, across the country, but around the world with all these, countries represented. So it's not only interesting from a trends perspective, it's interesting because of the number of companies that are responding to this. And that's really good information to take back to your C-suite to
Yeah.
kind of make some recommendations for your own organization.
Yeah, the depth and breadth is fantastic of where this survey and the report and the findings cover. Let me do a quick reset, Trish. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bowes. I'm with Trish McFarlane, of course. Our guest is Erica Vellini from Deloitte. We are talking about the Deloitte Human Capital Trends Report for 2018. We're a half hour into the show. We got to one trend, so we're doing great. I do want to try to get to at least one more, though, because this one's really important to me, to us, Trish, right, to the folks we've worked with for a long time. And that trend that you identified, Erica, and the team at Deloitte is called well-being, a strategy and a responsibility. I'll give a little blurb right from the report. As the line between work and life blurs further, employees are demanding that organizations expand their benefits offerings to include a wide range of programs for physical, mental, financial, and spiritual health. In response, employers are investing in well-being programs as both a societal responsibility and a talent strategy. We love this topic here at the show. I mentioned at the top, we've been working with Virgin Pulse for a long time, supporting the show. Erica, I'd love for you to comment a little bit about what you found around this topic. And again, similarly to the last one, what some interesting companies or interesting or progressive organizations are doing that's really having an impact in the area of well-being.
Yeah, and I think you captured it well. I mean, this ties to the social enterprise because twofold. One is the individuals are asking for this. I mean, individuals, and Josh Burson wrote about this a while ago about the overwhelmed employee. You know, people are spending a lot of time at work, and so how do you incorporate this focus on well-being into the workplace? But then also we have the societal issue where if well-being starts to decline, it has an impact on our society, right? Someone needs to care for increased hospital stays, whatever the increased costs are around healthcare, obviously a big topic. And so this is an opportunity, I think, for organizations to really step up and play a bigger role. But it also ties to productivity, and you mentioned that. So I think organizations are seeing, and Virgin Pulse actually, I think, does a great job of linking the metrics between, you know, improved well-being with productivity, because that's the key.
Right.
It's how do you improve the productivity of your workforce? How do you provide statistics and data and help people incorporate well-being into their day-to-day lives? And one of the things we really wanted to challenge with this report is the idea that many people think about well-being just in the context of health. That's the easiest way to think about it. But we're seeing a lot of innovation in terms of financial well-being, helping people project out and think about wealth planning. Again, especially as lifespans are getting longer, how do you make sure that people are thinking about retirement with Social Security, without Social Security, what that means? Mental well-being, I mean, we made a funny reference to logic earlier in the show, but mental well-being becoming incredibly important. How are you managing stress at work? And I think we're seeing, you know, workplace incidents occurring, and we need to make sure that we're managing and providing resources for mental well-being. So it's really having that broader perspective to manage well-being. And I think the best innovations we're seeing are similar to what we're seeing in Virgin Pulse, which is using technology to help push data to the employees. I love the idea of these challenges,
right,
that we're seeing a lot of companies use, these global challenges, to get people's competitive spirit up and to get them to engage with each other, because it also promotes things like collaboration, teamwork, things that are critical then to, again, driving innovation and productivity. And so to me, it's sort of this cyclical topic where if you capture it right, not only can you be appealing to someone from a personal standpoint, but you can be helping to promote other behaviors like collaboration, competitiveness, thinking about things differently, agility, that are critical to the business strategy moving forward. And that to me is what's exciting about this particular trend.
You know what, as you're talking, I'm like sitting here nodding. I'm thinking back to even just starting my career years ago, and it always felt like one of the things that I was missing was, you know, you couldn't be your real self at work, right? You always had to have on sort of a mask and only share certain things. And this whole idea of the social enterprise now becoming what work really is, and it makes talking about these things okay too, right? It's sort of the ability and the means to talk about mental health issues or your financial, you know, not just struggles, but maybe just, you know, questions on how to approach things as you're going through your career and seeing different financial milestones you're wanting to, you know, to deal with, whether it's paying off student loans or buying your first home or having children, whatever the case may be. I think it's interesting that in the past, when I was working in HR, it was more like that fell to your employee assistance program, but it was something that was rarely used, and it was almost like a stigma if you went to HR asking for help. And now it's sort of like the script is completely flipped. So I'm excited to, you know, to have that in this report as such an important thing, because I think it's going to just become more and more transparent. And to me, that definitely, you mentioned that brings about potentially collaboration. I think it absolutely has to, because you're now seeing your colleagues as people. You're not seeing them just as sort of like this one-dimensional work figure. You know, you're seeing them holistically. And I don't know, it's just, to me, when you want to stay at a company, it's because you've really bonded with people. And what better way is to bond, you know, as your whole self versus just your sort of your work-facing self.
Exactly. And I think you hit on something that's really important. Because a lot of what's happening in well-being is technology-enabled, it doesn't have to be some separate thing like the employee assistance program. It's integrated into the portal that you use on an everyday basis for everything you do, right? So you go in and you check what's happening with the news, what's happening with the corporate news, what are some maybe approvals that I have to make? Oh, and how am I doing with regard to my well-being? And where am I in the state of this competition that I'm in, tracking my, you know, how many steps I took, right? It all comes together. And not to get too techie and too nerdy about it, but I think that's what's also exciting is with all the technology advancements is that these technology platforms that are out there are allowing you to bring all those components together so you're focused holistically on the employee experience, which is another big topic that I know we won't get to. But
right.
When you bring things like well-being in, and you tie that to other aspects of an individual's day-to-day interactions at the job, now you're creating a more holistic experience supported by one technology platform, and you can really start to see the potential of that. And that's what gets me up and excited when I talk to organizations every day, is that there is so much to capitalize on out there. Steve, I know you talked about HR tech,
yeah.
But it's like, how do you bring all these pieces together to create that optimal or what we call simply irresistible experience.
Yeah, yeah, that's, I mean,
I love that.
We could go all day on this one too. And you know, I'm gonna do a little punt here. I'm gonna do a little audible. We're gonna use two football terms here. I know Trish, you know the football terms, Eric. I don't know if you're a football fan or not, but
oh my gosh, of course.
I'm gonna call a little audible here. We probably do not have time to dig into AI. The third trend I wanted to call out is about AI, robotics, and automation, and kind of the intersection or the interplay between humans and AI, which we're going to be covering a ton. Trish, we have an AI and HR show, actually, another show scheduled next week. We're going to talk about it a little bit, but I'm going to punt a little bit and maybe ask a different question that's not on the list, not on the pre-approved question. So hopefully I won't get dinged by this, but here's the question. So a few months ago, I did a show at ServiceNow. I was at the ServiceNow event, and I did a show with their CHRO, and it was very much like old school HR in terms of, like, she was all about people and kind of HR as caring about people, their whole selves. Trish, you said bring their whole selves to work. She talked about that a lot. And I was really struck how, like, it seemed like for a while, 4 or 5 years or so, all we heard about was, you know, HR people needed to think about numbers and results and financials and get MBAs and that sort of thing. And I'm not saying those things aren't important, but I get the sense from talking to her, a little bit of what you just talked about, Erica, some of the conversations I've had getting ready for HR tech and talking to the CHROs from Walt Disney, from BlackRock. I talked to Delta, the CHRO of Delta, the other day, and she said lots of these same things, which was almost like a pivot back to HR as really being that people organization and not necessarily just about the numbers. I don't know if this is even a question, Erica. It's more of an observation. I'd love for you. You talk to all kinds of leaders and organizations, HR leaders as well. I'd love for you to comment about that a little bit. Did we go maybe too far in saying HR had to be only about numbers and that was it? I'd love for your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't feel like I ever saw an HR organization that's only been focused on numbers. Mm-hmm. And I've worked with closely with ServiceNow and Delta. You mentioned several clients. I guess I would maybe take a different spin on it, which is I don't know that HR has gone from focusing on numbers to focusing on people. I actually think the trend we're seeing is that it has to be broader than HR, that the issues we're talking about in the context of the social enterprise, they're not an HR focus only. They're actually business issues, and they have to be owned by the whole of the C-suite. And that the issues that we're starting to tackle today, everything from the future of work to how to create the ultimate employee experience to have to navigate being the social enterprise, they require collaboration from the CHRO, the CFO, the CIO, the COO, the chief marketing officer, in order to really understand the implications. And so I actually think it's people, and it's not just people, right? It's capabilities, because some of it's going to come from robotics and AI, mm-hmm. just to tie to another trend, that has to be owned more broadly. HR will absolutely shape and lead in that conversation, but it can't be HR alone, because HR can't just be the answer to where all people issues go, because, quote, people issues, and to me it's really workforce issues, they're too complicated, right? They have financial implications. They have implications on your brand that can impact your consumer brand. They require technology investments that the CIO has to weigh in on. The shift in the workforce composition could have massive implications to your overall P&L and profitability. And so that's actually the direction we're seeing. Mm-hmm. And I think that was our number one trend in this year's report. And that's the call to action that out of anything that we think is the most important, which is if your C-suite is not collaborating and your CEO is not putting those kinds of issues front and center, then you're not going to be able to tackle the challenges that come with being a social enterprise.
Erica, that's a great way to kind of take my kind of thought, my rambling thought, and make more sense out of it, and kind of tie it back to what we're talking about as well, and how critically important it is for not just HR leaders, but any kind of business leader as well, and kind of underscores, I think, why we think anyway. I know for me for sure, and I think I speak for Trish too, like why we love this report so much and why we read it every year, like, and want to talk about it so much. Man, we could Trish. You're right. We need to do another show on this. We'll have to convince Erica to come back on to dive into this stuff a little bit more if she's willing. We'll have to talk about a different rapper, though. I'll have to go do something interesting, and we can talk about that maybe. Although the only thing interesting I've been doing lately is barbecuing. I don't know how fun that is to talk about on the show, but at any rate.
I think barbecue is pretty interesting. So, yeah, we can do a barbecue show.
Yeah. Hey, Erica, last couple of minutes here while we have you, and we want to be respectful of your time as well. And first, thank you again for taking the time to be with us today and talk about the report. And we'll put the links for folks to download this report in the show notes and share it on our sites as well. Any of this last to kind of farewell point you want to make to our listeners about this report or about just what you're seeing in general, what you've learned from doing the research on this?
You know, I was going to wrap with a focus on the C-suite and the collaboration that's needed there. And I did hit it, but I think the reality is that being a social enterprise and leveraging your human capital as social capital really is a tremendous opportunity, and it requires two things. One is greater integration with the external ecosystem, and we see that a lot of organizations are too focused inside.
Yeah.
They're insular in nature, and so getting out and understanding this type of research, other data, connecting with peer organizations is incredibly important. The second part is driving increased collaboration, and that can occur in so many ways. We talked about well-being challenges. It's about challenging the way your organization is structured and whether those traditional hierarchies make sense. Finding ways to promote collaboration is key. And so if you're thinking about where are we on the social enterprise spectrum, I would say ask yourself, how are we working with the external ecosystem, and how well do we collaborate within our organization at every level? And based on that, I think you'll get a sense of where you are, and hopefully this call helped to demonstrate where we believe organizations need to go.
Yeah, this was fantastic. You know, when you were talking about the social enterprise, Erica, I just was reminded of a quote Trish, you remember Grant McCracken? We've had him on the show a couple times, the chief culture officer guy.
I do.
He's one of my favorite authors. Yeah. Erica, you know who he is? Grant McCracken. Maybe you've heard of him, but I don't know. But he has a great quote about organizations or corporations were great at building walls to keep ideas out, right? Building moats around themselves to keep all ideas outside of those walls. And that's what they were great at. And his point was they can't do that anymore, right? And be successful going forward. And I couldn't help but thinking about that as you were talking. Man, this is so interesting. I love this topic. I love this report. Everyone in HR, everyone, honestly, any business leader really should be reading this. Certainly the HR listeners in this audience should be following this and reading it. And we'll put the links out in the show notes as well. We hope to get Erica back again to talk more about this as well. So Erica Vellini from Deloitte, thank you so much for taking some time today to talk about these trends.
Thank you, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too. Trish, I'll have to say to you is enjoy the Logic show. I think that's really the key here.
Thank you.
That's the message. Good luck.
I feel like I'm gonna grow.
Good luck with
somehow
that.
Tonight. Yeah. I'm gonna grow and change and be impacted. So yeah, stay tuned.
And so
more to come on that.
And send me the link to the YouTube of that song so we can put that in the show notes as well. So
I will. It's a really good song.
All right, I have to check that out because I have not heard it. So that is it for the show and wrapping up the week really as we record this. Thanks again to our show sponsor Virgin Pulse, www.virginpulse.com, and please remember to subscribe to the HR Happy Hour show wherever you get your podcasts. For our guest Erica Vellini, for Trish McFarland, my name is Steve Bowes. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour show. We will see you next time. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour Show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.